but God hath joined us to him. Let no man separate. So God is into marriage from the beginning to the end. It's the greatest thing. Marriages are meant to be impossible, so that you'd have to have a God to make it. But it's the heart of our faith. It's the heart of our faith. All sins are forgiven, and you're not going to be without them, even after you're born again. But it's God's promise, not yours. You're not a promise keeper. You're a promise breaker. It's God's promise that what he begins, he finishes. So the only issue is whether you believe he spoke. And if he did, he can't lie. So if you trusted in him, you'll never be ashamed. Now, if you trusted in yourself, even a wee little bit, you're going to be ashamed. That will not hold. So what he wants is to do everything and have you just relax, rest, be at peace. Don't do anything because you can't anyway, shouldn't, you ought not. And besides, he's already done everything perfectly. How could you add anything to his perfection? So the greatest sign is joy. The only reason we thank, the only reason we praise, the only reason we adore is because he's done everything. There's nothing more to be done. You're not waiting to go to heaven to thank. You thank on earth because everything's done. The thanking is not the finish. What he did is the finish. You're just thanking him because it's finished. You're not adding to it. The thanksgiving, the praise, the adoration, God doesn't need that to finish your work. That's just what you do because it's true, and that's how you testify. You testify through your praises. He dwells in the praises of his people, and then you see, and the whole world sees. The problem with the church today is we say, but there's nothing seen. There has to be things seen, evidence, proof, so that that which is unseen that we believe in is seen, and you couldn't produce that. There's no way. But God, who made that promise, he not only has to do it, he wants to do it, because he promised, he swore. So there's no way you could fail. You can't fail to please God. How can you fail to please God when he's already pleased and had nothing to do with what you said or thought or did? If you're a woman, the beauty of a woman in God's sight is that she doesn't say truth. She doesn't say what's true. She doesn't have to know what's true. She just says what she thinks. She just says what she feels. She just tells him what she wants. That's the beauty. That's kind of simple. There's no burden there. It's kind of like, gee, I know what I think. I know what I want. Now, unless some man has crushed you, you're free to say whatever you think, feel, want. Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your imaginations. You can say anything you want to say. Hey, because you're not under a law. That's the beauty of a woman. So the wife is not to be one that's shut up, passive, but the one that's quite active. This is what I think. This is what I feel. This is what I want. That's beautiful. Will there be a man on earth that will care? Of course not. But God is bound to listen to what she thought, said, desired. See, God has to do that. And so, he has to break a man before a woman will have anyone that hears her. Remember Sarah? She thought the woman and her son should be cast out. Abraham, the man of God, thought not. So who was right? Her. All she did, she didn't say the truth. She just simply said, I don't want her. She didn't check with God or hear it from the Holy Ghost or anything. She just simply said, well, I don't want her. I mean, she didn't even know what she was talking about. I mean, Abraham says, that's my firstborn son. That's the woman that you told me to marry. Remember that? Remember that's how we got kids from her? Now that you've got your own, that's not right. So he sounded like truth. He sounded like, you know, he was smarter than her. But she actually had God because she just expressed herself. Well, I don't care about all that. I'll just tell you one thing. Get her out. You're wrong. I don't care what you just said. You're wrong. I heard God. I don't care what you heard. You didn't. Go back and listen again. That is a perfect submission. That is the perfect submission. When a woman just says what she thinks, feels, and wants, any one or all or half or three quarters, it doesn't matter what she does, she can do anything she wants to do. Because she's under no law. All the burden lays upon the man. He's the one that has to hear God. Well, go listen to yourself. Abraham, I'm not talking to you anymore. I just want her out. She didn't have to explain it. Well, give me five reasons. No, she didn't need any reason. Just that I don't want her. And she was absolutely right. Not only was she right, it is the only thing to be right about. Which is that, how could my son, a son of faith, and you're the father of faith, want to be with your son, Hagar, a son of works? Hagar represents works and her son, obedience to those works. But that's not pleasing to the father. When you're the father of faith, you're not the father of works. How can faith and works be together in the same house? How can light and darkness dwell together in the same temple? Either God did it all and you believe him, or you have to do something. And so the older son, Ishmael, 18 years old, he despised and mocked the younger son who said, I just go by faith. He's silly. You have to do stuff to please God. You can't just get in because you just have faith. He said, no, I believe God is going to, through me, have a son born, and he'll bring salvation, redemption. It's so stupid. You don't know anything. The world then mocks. Error mocks truth. Darkness mocks light. They don't dwell together. How can two walk together if they be not agreed? Cast her out, her and her boy. She was right. He was wrong. You can't put opposites together. You can't have two things dwell in the same house. If God is holy, you can't have Satan living in the same house. Either that's Satan's house or God's house. You can't have both. If the house is holy, then it belongs to God. Kick out the woman and her son. Because he's antithetical to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, every wife needs to know the liberty, the freedom of not being able to need to know who the truth is. That's just her husband. That's your job. You tell me the truth. I'll just say what I think. I'll just say what I feel. I'll just say what I want. I want her out. Why? I don't know. That's what I want. That, work that out. You go ask God. No, talk to me. I've already told you. If you don't listen, that's your problem. You and God. You work that out. And you come back and tell me I'm right. Kick her out. And sure enough, she told God, hey God, I don't know about all that stuff. I just know what I think, feel, and want. That's all I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to figure out the truth of it and all that kind of junk. That's his job. I told him. He didn't listen. That's his problem. Y'all see that? Many a woman has expressed herself and her husband didn't pay attention. Paid no mind whatsoever. You don't even know what you're talking about, sweetheart. That's my firstborn son. That's your son, too, through Hagar. That was your idea, sweetheart. Remember? He's not listening to her at all. He's come up with his own, I know God, I'm the man of God. But the man of God often doesn't hear God. He often doesn't submit himself to the truth. And therefore, you must not maltreat the bride, the woman, the wife. You must listen carefully. I don't care if you've heard God or not. Wait until she hears what you hear, because you can't be agreed unless you do. Now, does anyone understand what I just said? Not intellectually, but did you understand from your heart what I just said?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about how a man has to wait for his wife, and even though he's heard God, it means nothing. Hearing God doesn't mean anything. That may be true. That may be true. Now you know what God wants. But you don't know how and when and anything else. You better go check with your wife. And when you're agreed, you'll hear God. Abraham had to go and check with God again. He said, God, I know I'm not supposed to be throwing my son away. But you see, he was the man of faith, and he just lost his faith, and she had all the faith. And a woman should not be the husband. The husband should have faith in God. So she told him, go check it with God. Don't argue with me about what my thoughts are and feelings and emotions and so on. You just go check it with God, for goodness sake. Why should I argue with you? Mary didn't argue with Joseph. She just sent Gabriel over. Gabriel, before you leave the neighborhood, you need to go tell Joseph tonight, because that guy knows nothing. He's supposed to be my husband, but he's not a man of faith. He's not a man that's checking with God. Go help him out. I'm going to bed. Nighty. And there she did it. You see? That is exactly the role of a woman, is not to have to be burdened over all the cares of, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. She just gets to be herself. All I want my wife to be is herself. I don't want her to be the wife I want her to be. I don't want her to be the wife I want her to be. I want her to be whatever she is. I don't care what she is. The husband doesn't change the wife. The husband seeks God. He's the one that needs to be broken. He's the one that's under the law. He's the one that's under the burden. He's the one that's the trustee, never to do his own works, never to say his own words, never to think his own thoughts, never to feel his own feelings, never to act his own acts. He's only to do what God says. That's a man. A real man is someone that only heareth God. He doesn't obey his wife, but he hears her. He listens to her, then he takes it to God. God, this woman thou gavest me. What does she know? She's emotional. She's just spouting. I don't hear anything that she says. Do what your wife said. You remember Jesus, his mother showed up one day, and she said, well, tell him his mom's here, brothers and sisters, his whole family. He'll pay attention to that. But Jesus did not pay attention to his mother. He just said this to everybody. Who is my mother and my brothers and sisters? You know, who's my family? In other words, I'm submitted to God, not to Sarah, not to Mary, not to Mother Mary. I'm not submitted to any woman. I'm not submitted to the church. Jesus is not submitted to the church. The church is submitted to him. Nevertheless, when he submits to God, he says, you know, do what she says. So she was right. How many know that a woman doesn't have to care whether she's right or not? She just expresses herself. She doesn't care if she's right or not. That's his business. Well, go work it out with Jesus. That's your job. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Do you understand it all?
Yeah.
Because Abraham is faith, active in Isaac, love. So when Abraham listens to his wife, they're going to have Isaac. So he's under God, but he's over his wife to bless her and not to burden her. You see that? So Abraham and his wife, who was more in line with faith than he was. He's the father of faith, and yet he was about to act in an unfaith way and keep the two together. You can't have the law and the gospel living in the same house. You're either under gospel or you're under law. So if the man is under the law, you're in trouble. He's a tyrant. A man that's under the law is going to be a tyrant. So, you have to listen to the church, whether you like it or not. If you are the political power of this world, you have to listen to the church. You may not like it, too bad. She's the conscience. She's the conscience. And if she says she has a conscience problem over the thing, I don't want the woman in this house. And I don't want her boy either. Both. Well, let's talk about it. No, there's nothing to talk about. I want her out. You see, the man has no right to discuss that with his wife. He just has to go to God and say, God, did my wife say your word? Did I miss you? Could it be that I missed you, the man of God? Father of faith? Could it be that I don't know what faith is? You see, faith is not a quality of the soul. Faith is that God can't lie. And I'm relying on that. So faith has nothing to do with you. It has to do with a relationship, not being. Remember I told you about the Greek mind The Greek mind's always asking the question, well, who are you? Who are you? It's who is God. Forget who you are. You're in relationship to God. The thing in itself doesn't matter. Who cares what's really the case? That's for God. All you need to know is, are you related rightly to the cornerstone? Are you rightly related to God through Jesus Christ, according to the work of the Spirit? That's all you need to know. So relationship is everything. The wife doesn't need to know everything that Adam needs to know. She only needs to know what, you know, just whatever she is, just express it. She doesn't need to solve any problems. She doesn't need to do anything. Just simply express herself. Well, I don't like that. Why? Well, I mean, how's that going to help such and such? I mean, she doesn't have to be right. What? She's not worried about being right. She's not under a law. She just talks, just like little kids do. Mom, can we go to the zoo? No. That's okay. But it's not wrong for the little kid to say what he wants or what he feels. Well, I don't feel like that's right. You know, that's not wrong. I'm going to spank you because you did that. No, you don't spank them. They're just expressing themselves. They don't have to know everything. A little kid is, what's wrong with a little kid? Why put a weight on a little kid? Hey, you behave yourself, young man. you can do that, but that little kid is still himself. You can even give him a spanking and stop him outwardly from saying anything, but he's still himself. Let the little kid be loved unconditionally, just like he is. Let the wife be loved by her husband, not wait for her to take the initiative. When she wants to express herself, and this is what you have to do. You have to go to the wife and say, hey, by the way, anytime you want to access me, anything you want to say or feel or think or whatever, just spout. Just do it. And if I don't like it and you see my face frowning because you're real intuitive, I mean, know that wives are intuitive. I mean, know that wives are intuitive. They just kind of grasp it. I don't think you like that. So what? Don't spare him. Put him under a burden. Give him all the burden. Give him all the weight. Is anybody following me? I mean, in the spirit. I don't mean, you know, you're intellectually getting my concept. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The law and the gospel can't live in the same house. Light and dark can't live in the same temple. There's no way God can live in an unholy house or an unholy temple, and you are that temple. And therefore, you can't have works. You can't do anything. You enter in to the seventh day rest. You're not in the sixth day. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to, you know, die. You enter in to the last day. You enter in. It's a day of rest. Why are the Jews always working? Why are they always trying to please God or do what's right or avoid doing what's wrong? Look, what a waste of time. When Jesus Christ has already done it all, why worry about it? We live in the eighth day, which means after the seventh day, which means we're resting forever. That's holiness. Holiness is let the husband be the husband. Jesus is the husband. Your maker is your husband, and that's why we will bear seed this coming year. We will bear seed because we've made room by faith in our tent to have only Isaac and only what comes out of that. Abraham is the father of faith. So in his tents, stretch them out. Make more curtains. There has to be room for a lot of babies. There has to be room for lots of fruit, lots of impact on this world. Lots of, we just have to have tons. What for? Well, because God's got a big idea. He'd like everybody to come. And he'd like his Christians not just to be babies, but he'd like them to be mature adults. He'd like every man to be mature in Christ. David, you are to be a mature man of God.
All right.
Amen. Praise God. That's it. That was quick.
Yeah.
That was good. No hesitation on that. And that's the truth. That's not his idea. That's God's idea. God promises, I will make him into a mighty man of God. I will make you into a mighty woman of God. But remember, you don't do anything. You just simply believe. What is the work that we must be working? There isn't any. You're not Ishmael. You're not Moses. You're not some kind of worker. You're not Jewish. The Jews have gotten way off. You know, if only they had followed Abraham rather than Moses. And then when Moses comes along and talks all about all the works you must do, she just simply would say, nah, I just mix that with faith of Abraham. Whatever I'm supposed to do, let Jesus do it for me. Don't let him do it in me, and don't let him do it through me. Let him do all the work. I don't do anything. I don't have to do anything. I'm not nervous. You can't shake me. I'm in rest. So a woman who's in rest would be peaceful. There are very few women that are at rest and peaceful. Because you're not going to control the man you're with. Men are uncontrollable. Now, it's moot to say that women are uncontrollable. They're not supposed to be. And a man never can figure out if he's trying to figure out, well, what did you say that for? What's that have to do with anything? You know, he can never figure it out. What did you say that for? Why'd you throw the toast? Why? What did I do? What did I say? And so a man that's like that is a man like a cow looking at a barn door. And he's trying to figure it out. You know, it's like, why'd you say that? What's that have to do with anything? A woman will just say stupid stuff like, I'm leaving. You just say stupid stuff like that. All right, that's it. She can say that anytime she wants. She's just talking. She's just expressing herself. Not saying the truth. She wants to see what you're going to do when she says that. She doesn't even have to think it out. She just says it. Well, I'm sick of this place. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That was a compliment to you, that she expressed herself to you. Now, you being a real man, take that to Jesus. Jesus, what's she talking about? Don't talk to her. Well, what do you mean by that? She doesn't know. She just said it. She doesn't care if it's true or false. It's just what she felt like saying. Now, I like my wife just say whatever she feels like saying. When she does, I hate it. But I take it to Jesus. I don't discuss it with her. Woman, the woman you just gave me, she's crazy. She's completely crazy. Did you hear that, God? I don't know if you were paying attention or not. Did you hear what she said? I don't know what that means. Well, that means you're not paying any attention to her.
Ah,
I see. So it had nothing to do with what she said. She's just keeping you up all night because she wants a little attention. I see. So she doesn't really want me to solve the question she just asked. No. Well, how would I know that? She said, here's a problem. And then 3 or 4 hours, 6 hours later, I'm still trying to solve the problem that I solved in the first sentence when she said it. Well, Peg, the answer is thus and so. Well, I don't think so. No, that's not it. There's something else. And then 7 hours later, I repeat the same thing. Well, it's right back to what I first said. But she's happy, and it's over. I'm going to bed. Well, wait a minute. We were arguing about something. Do you see what I'm saying? That's fine. Good night. You see, you're not supposed to communicate with people. Flesh and blood doesn't build the house of God. Hagar can't build the house of God. Hagar with her works religion and, you know, her boy Ishmael. They just can't stay in the same house. We're not a people of works, we're a people of faith, right? This whole book, Hebrews, is all about the law and the gospel. It's all about whether it's built on law or it's built on the gospel. Is there a better way? Now, today we're going to look at angels. There's God the Father, then God the Son. We did those two so far. Remember God, who in times past, in sundry ways, in various manners, he spoke to us. All kinds of ways, through prophets and through priests and through kings. And he spoke to us. And he did it this way and that way and so on and so forth. Lambs slain and all that stuff. But in these last days. So we're in the last days. And he was in the last day 2,000 years ago. And now, there's only 1,000 years left and we're already in it. So we're in the third day since what? Since the thing was started. Since that decree went forth. You remember Daniel prophesied about a decree? There'd be 70 weeks and all this kind of nonsense. Well, you know what? That 70th week has a half a week left. Not 7 days. So I don't care what all the prophets say these days. They're all wrong. We're only looking for 3.5 years. We're not looking for 7 years. Well, there's going to be 7 years, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's all made up. It's all cute. But there's only 42 months. There's only 1,280 days. The Antichrist is not going to rule that long. Read it. It's simple. It's stated a billion times. The Messiah was cut off. Messiah Prince was cut off in the midweek. So when Jesus died, 30 AD, that was the midweek. Now we're still looking for the last half. And Satan wants to fulfill the last half with the Antichrist. A Christ that's not really the Christ. Works instead of faith. Which one's going to be superior? Ishmael over little 5-year-old, just weaned Isaac? He's just weaned. Hadn't even started doing anything. He's still sucking on his mother, and he just got weaned. And his older brother, who's 18, you know, he's already a man. He's already a big boy. And he mocks the little kid because he's superior to him. But God says not so. Faith is always superior to works. So I don't care how many thousands of years works have been going, they're worthless. Because the work's already been done, and only God works. You can't work on a day that God's resting. When God entered into his rest, he entered into his rest. You can't have any evolution. There's no possibility for evolution. When God rested, that was it. No new species, no new anything. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing. As it was, it is. And as it is, it will always be. It's never going to change. That which was in the beginning is still now in the end. So, and by the way, science will come around to this, so I don't care about science. But they are already saying now, the genes have never changed ever since the beginning of time. Scientists are saying. It's proven. It's something that science, with all of its probability and whatnot, has finally come to the conclusion that they don't know what they're talking about. There isn't anything new. There are no new genetic codes, no new DNA, no new nothing. Because as it was, that's the way it'll always be. Until God is done with this world, which is coming real soon. When God is done with this world, then it'll be different. But we got another 1,000 years. So don't worry about, you know, some new man making life in a test tube. You notice how it comes and then it goes and so on. Well, it'll never happen. Anything you produce in a test tube will be regenerate. I'll say it again. Anything you produce in a test tube will be degenerate. All you can do is get out of something what you put into it. So if it's made by human hand, God won't dwell in it. You weren't made by human hand. You've been remade by the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. Now, I want to write a word up here. Here it is. Proto, first, tokos. Now, I told you before that that comes from the Greek word Ticto, T-I-K-T-O, Ticto. Ticto comes and is related to another word, katesis, K-T, katesis, okay, K-T. Now, katesis means to create. So in the Greek, the word for creator is the guy who katesis is. He's the one that makes things. So for this tokos, the creation, you have to know, first creation is that passive or active. If it's passive, then Jesus is the firstborn. That's usually what they translate in the Greek New Testament. The firstborn of Mary. So he's the firstborn son. Doesn't mean that. It's active. It's not him passively being created. Now watch, your Greek mind is going to get screwed up here. Your Greek mind says, well, it's a, I think it means that he was the firstborn. Yes, it does. But in this case, it doesn't. It means the first creator. The one who first created the new creation. He is not the creature of the new, he's not the first creature of the new creation. He's the creator of it. Because the Father, in relationship to the Son, said, today I've begotten you. In other words, today I didn't make you being. We're not talking about his being. I made you as a trustee, to say and do what I say and do, you're going to carry out my new creation. You're going to be the Lord of the new creation. Adam failed. Adam was the federal head of the first race. And Adam's seed came to nothing because it came from Adam. Adam and Eve. Now, there's a new wife. A new wife. Us. And we are the faith wife, not the works wife. So here we're not under the law of Adam, sin and death. That's been done away with, and Jesus is now the Ticto, the creator. So he is the active creator, the first one. In other words, he's the first one to set up the new creation because he's related to God, and he's this cornerstone here that relates to you, the new creation, underneath him. So what he did here is what the Father told him to do. Because he's in relationship. Our identity creates our capacity and determines our destiny. That's a relational thing. Our identity is not what we are in ourselves. Our identity is what we are in relationship to God. It isn't what you are. It's who you are. Who are you with respect to God? Vis-a-vis God. And therefore you know who you are to all mankind. So if I'm a husband to God, then I know I'm the burdened one. If I'm a wife to God, then I know I'm the blessed one. That's all I need to know. He's got a yoke. The yoke puts two together. Now, you can't yoke light and darkness, truth and error. You can't yoke things that can't be yoked together, like me with an oxen. It's not going to help. You know, I can't do anything. That oxen's going to beat me. So you don't want to put a pig and a horse together. It isn't going to work. So they yoke together two oxen, but one is always the lead oxen. And everybody knows that who has horses or goats or whatever it is, huskies. I don't care what it is, there's always a lead. And Jesus is yoked to you, zygos. Yoke means I'm putting two things together, that'll be one. The yoke makes them one, but one pulls. One takes the burden, the other takes the blessing. Now, if you're the wife, you're not allowed to do the pulling. You're only allowed to pull with. You submit to the one that's doing the pulling and go right along, and all of your value is in the relationship. It's not in who you are. You are the wife in relationship to the husband. It isn't just that you are. It's that you are in relationship too. So who are you? You are God's beloved. You are the beloved of God. Everybody in this room, male and female, is female to God. So it isn't what you are. I'm a male. No. That's what you are in a certain relationship. But in another relationship, you're different. So in relationship to Jesus Christ as the new creation, prototokos, the first one to create the new creation. So he was the first one, meaning the first creator, meaning the Father through him did his work. What? That's the right side, not the left side. Over here, Jesus was also involved in the old creation under the law. Now there's a new creation that will never perish. The law over here is sin and death. You sin, you die. So that law is what held the old creation. Here's another one. He dies if you sin. That's a better creation. He dies if I sin. How many know that I've sinned this morning between the time I woke up and getting here? Already sinned. How many know that you have too?
Yep.
Are you aware of that? You've already sinned. And you can't, don't even think about it. I just guarantee you did. I don't know if I did anything wrong or not. I think I was a blessing to everybody. Okay. You can say what you want, but you did it. You see, you already failed because you're not perfect. So you're perfect in relationship to him who is. Because he happened to say, I covered you. But you yourself didn't change. When Jesus forgives you, you still have a sinful life. Have you noticed that even though you're a Christian, even though you're righteous to Christ, even though your heart and your spirit is all pure, your body still sometimes gets worried, nervous, falls down. Has anybody noticed that? Has anybody noticed that sometimes you get angry and bitter? Has anybody noticed that? Well, so you see, you're not perfect. Certainly not in your behavior. Come on, the world doesn't see it. They're not like, whoa, these people are perfect. And I don't think anybody's done that. You're not even worth crucifying. You're just like them. They don't crucify what's different than them. So, they don't see any difference. So you don't have to fear persecution. It's only when you're different. When you don't fit into their yoke. I can't be yoked with Ishmael. Muslim and Christian are opposites. Come out from the midst of her. You can't be yoked with Jewish legalists. You can't even be yoked with churches of Christendom, which are under the law legalistic. It's the biggest problem in the church. It's not the pagans, it's not the Jews, it's the fellow Christians who aren't. And it's usually you. You can't function with you. So your prayer has to be, not set me free from the wicked people out there, the Antichrist and so on. Not separate me from the political, blah, blah, blah. Not separate me from all the pagans and so on. Not separate me from the Jews and the Muslims and so on. No. Your biggest problem is the church itself. False brethren, they call them harlot churches. I don't care about the harlot Israel. I'm talking about the harlot church. Are you the church that God wants, which is a faith church built on faith? Faith is that this stone is perfect. This is a perfect stone right here. This stone right here is perfect. And everything that comes forth from this one, a new creation, every stone is perfect. Now, it's perfect by faith because I don't yet see it.
And there's nobody here until the day you die, you're not going to see that perfection. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. You have to go, I'm perfect. And that's just a declaration, not of what's true. It's a declaration of what's true. That the reason I'm perfect is He promised and said, the good work I began in you I will surely complete, and I believe it. That's your perfection. That's why it's imputed. It's only donum partum, not donum totum. In other words, it's a partial gift. People see a little bit of change in you, but they don't see the full change. And that won't happen until the trumpet blows. When that blows, you'll see, oh, here's my new body. Here's my new soul. Now I'm finally dead. Finally. Because up until the day you die, you will still have your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own emotions, your own imaginations, and so on. They're going to come forth. Don't be ashamed of those. Just turn them over to your husband. Jesus, did you take care of that or not?
I did.
Okay, I'm all right then. You see, my relationship to Jesus is everything. Not who I am. Who I am is who I am in relation to. You see, Peggy is the wife, I'm the husband. That's real easy. So she bears all the gifts, all the blessings. I get all the burdens. And she can say and do anything. She can say and do anything to me and put me under any problem. And I rejoice over that. Do it. What a privilege to be able to bless her and take all, you know, I have a sign that says, dump all your problems right here. Bring your big dump truck and dump them all right here. Don't carry one of them with you. Dump the whole thing. Turn that dump truck upside down until it's all out. And give me all your problems, and what am I going to do? I'm going to take them to Jesus. What's Jesus going to do? Take them to the Father. So I dump, she dumps on me, I dump on her, and so on. It all works out beautifully because the Father loves to take garbage and trash and turn it into, manure and compost, and it'll turn out good. How many know that God can take anything and turn it to what He originally intended it to be?
Yeah.
He's able. He's a molecular genius. He can take anything you've done. It's the same matter. He just rearrange it and put it right back to where it belonged. This cornerstone is the thing you want to be lined up with. When you're lined up with this, you're lined up with God. Show us the Father. No. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the fullness of the Father. I am the full Godhead dwells in me. I'm the brightness of His glory. You want to know anything about Him? Look at me. I'm not here. This is not the Father with a law. This is the Father with mercy. Of course He has a law, but the law was for me, the husband. The law was for Jesus. He's the end of the law. He did it. But He did it voluntarily. He didn't do it under a law. He did it because Chad read something today as he were singing. But when he read something, he read that Jesus became sin, and then next sentence was, He was treated as sin. He Himself wasn't sin. But in relationship to God, who said, take her sin, in that regard, He was sin, because we had sin and we had to die, so He took our place, but He wasn't sin. He had done no sin. But by doing what the Father said, He took all our sin on Him in relationship. Then I didn't have to do it. I became His wife. That's all it took. All it took was I believed in Him. Jesus, I'm trusting You on this one. I have no idea. I told you I'm scared of You. I don't know if I even trust You. I mean, no, you can say anything you want to Him. You're the wife. There's no burden on you. You don't say you're nervous about Jesus. Jesus, I'm a little nervous. Yeah, He doesn't care. He's not listen to you anyway and think what you just said is true in itself. He's just going to go, don't worry about it, sweetheart. I've taken care of it. It's all done. And so he's just going to go to the Father and says, she still doesn't know how much I love her, Father. He's not saying, well, she has to go to hell now that she said that. He doesn't take us seriously. Really. Do you all take yourself seriously? Is there anybody here that... Don't raise your hand. Is there anybody here that takes themselves seriously? Like, well, I thought that. I guess I'll have to go to hell now. No, you won't. You can say anything you want, feel anything you want, do anything you want. It's nothing. It's what He did. It's how you relate to the guy that did everything. He's your righteousness. You're not. You don't have any righteousness of your own. You have no life in yourself. He has life in Himself. Did you know the Father gave Him life in Himself? I didn't do that. But it's my life. So the life that he has is the light of men. In other words, his life is not him in himself. It's him under the Father in a trustee relationship to help me so that I can help others so that we can build the church of God.
Amen.
That's the temple. The temple, then, is not a building. It's not an organization. It's not something made by man or thought by man or done by man or Ishmael or Hagar or anyone else. It's not a Moses thing. Moses is a servant in the house. Jesus is the Son. It's a relationship. Moses, Jesus, they're the same. Jesus came and became flesh. But he became flesh to be in a different relationship. Not a law giver, but a gospel giver. Different. It's powerful. He's showing you a different face. You see, this is God's face over here, the law. But that face is only for a trustee who already took his mercy and already then can do the law because it's who's in you that do it. Whoever is in you, do it. If Satan is in you, you'll do the works of Satan. If you're in you, you'll do your own works. If God is in you, you'll do the works of God. So it's not who you are, it's who is in you. Who's your Lord? Who is it that you're looking up to? If you're a wife, he's the husband. If you're Jesus, he looks to the Father. Jesus is never, ever over the Father. Jesus submits to the Father, but he's never the kephale or the head of the Father. Never. The Father never does what the Son does. It's the Son that does what the Father does. They're in relationship. Is Jesus God? Fully. Then they're equal. But even so, in the relationship, they're not. Why? Because Jesus voluntarily said, Dad, anything you want done, I want to do it too. That's a good son. And why did they do that? To show you something. It's all for you. It's not for them. That's not so, oh, that's how the Godhead works. Yes, that is how the Godhead works. That shows the difference between love and being. It isn't the being that makes it. It's the love. The Son loves the Father. And the Father loves the Son. So the Son says, Dad, anything you want done, I want to be part of it. I want to enter into your rest. I want to enter into your finished work. Did you know that all the works of the world were finished before the foundation of the world? You're just, when you do a good work, it's not you doing the good work. You're just entering into His finished work. But that was finished not on the cross. That was finished before the foundation of the world. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because it's ruining your marriages. It's ruining your life if you think you are somebody. You're not anybody. You're in relationship to somebody. Either be Satan or God. Why would you want to be in relationship to Satan? He's just a creature. Satan is just a creature. Hagar is just a creature. She's not superior to Sarah. Why? Because there's no promise. She's under the law. Egypt. She's pagan. In Egypt, they're under a law. Pharaoh is God. Well, we don't believe in that. We don't believe that. We just believe he's nothing. And God proved that. Just went and mowed them down right there. He says, well, let's see. Tell me about all their gods. I'll ruin them in 10 plagues. Give me 10 plagues, I'll get rid of every god they have. And the last god to get rid of, that was the biggest of all. The firstborn son. Firstborn, same word. Firstborn son of Pharaoh. He's a flesh son. So what's a firstborn? It's nothing under the law. Yes, it's something, but not under grace. And God doesn't want to have law. So he just wipes them all out. So that Moses goes free with the children, and all the 12 sons of Israel go free, and Judah is one of those. And Judah doesn't come from Levi. Judah's another son. He comes from Leah. Remember the weak-eyed woman? Remember the weak-eyed woman? Don't worry, I'm going to get to Hebrews. I don't care if I have 5 minutes left, I'll get there. But I'm just telling you some powerful things. I'm just following the Spirit right now. Leah was the one with the dim eyes. You know, he didn't like her. He never liked her. But there was a law, a custom in those days. And it's still, by the way, it's still in the Orient. They still have that custom today. If you went over to the Orient to marry somebody, you have to marry the first daughter first. And you can't get married if you're the second daughter. Now, it's changing now because of the modern world, but it's been the custom for thousands of years. And so you have to marry Leah before the other one. Well, I don't want to marry her. And knowing that he loved the second daughter, there was a little substitution there at the last minute, and the guy was so in love that he didn't notice.
Oh my God, I married the weak-eyed one. Whoa, what's happened here? Isn't that great? Don't you see that? Don't you see the humor of God there?
And Jesus will come forth from that. That's what's so amazing. Not from Rachel, the one he really loved.
So he works another 14 years for her, and then you know, the guy changes his wages all the time because now that they're married, they don't have a penny.
Because he worked 14 years for free with nothing.
So he said, you know, hey, sweetheart, I can't really take it anywhere. We're kind of stuck here.
And Laban said, hey, what's your problem? Work another, hey, just another six. It's nothing when you're in love.
Come on, son. Don't be, are you saying it isn't worth it? You see, you want these girls. Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, then, look, all the spotted, they'll be yours. All the striped, they'll be mine.
Well, every time the striped then bore,
you know, one guy got them, the other guy got the other one.
And so Laban kept changing it. Okay, wait a minute. The spotted seemed to be...
Okay, I'm changing it where I get the spotted. Did I say... No, I meant I get the spotted.
And so he kept changing his wages 10 times. Just like 10 plagues. 10 is a test.
Have you ever been tested over and over and over again?
That's great. It's great to be tested. That's just a great way to find out if you're spirit or the flesh.
Do you live by faith or do you live by works? You know, you want to live by performance. Most of you are still into performance.
I'm trying to do what's right. I hope I'm doing it.
What a way to live. That's a horrible way to live.
I don't know if my parents like what I'm doing, but I enjoy this. Look, the book of Hebrews is saying something really weird here, so skip all that other stuff I just said. Now, this is so powerful.
Verse 4. Being made, Jesus, being made so much better than the angels. Is Jesus an angel? Jehovah's Witnesses say yes.
No, they're wrong.
They're wrong. Because they're works people. You know, Jehovah's Witness has to, you know, knock on your door.
There'll be a Jonadab or something.
You know, they're under the law. You got to do it. And, you know, my sister's one. I'm telling you, they have to do everything.
And my father, my real father, the first one night stand guy, the mafia guy, he had to do it too. Because later he started out as a Catholic, then he became a Jehovah's Witness, and he had to lick stamps all the time and, you know, whatnot to get into heaven. Because you have to get into their organization called Jehovah's Witness. An organization is not an organism. So what you do is you leave the world in order to join their outfit. And it's all works. You have to be good in that little church. Thank God here we don't have that. The reason why we have all you people is because you're no good. None of you are good. You're good only because he who is good is related to you and you believe in him. That's why you're good. We count that as good. But we only treat it as good. As you spoke this morning. To treat something as good is to say that it is good. In the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the state, in the eyes of the gospel. So in the eyes of the gospel, you're good. Because you believe in Jesus, who is. Which, Jesus said, I don't do any good works. Why do you call me good? The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. The Father is good. None is good but God. So if God is good, then Jesus is good because the Father's in the Son. Remember, I told you do good works because of who's living in you. Well, the Father's in me. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. So who's in you? The Father who dwells in him dwells in me. So the Father and the Son through the Spirit in me. Therefore I can do the works of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Because they're in me. How did I get that? I just believe. I didn't do anything. I'm just in the right relationship with them. That's righteousness. Righteousness is being right relationship to the cornerstone. Y'all see that?
Is Jesus an angel? Absolutely not. To what angel did he ever say, today, son, I have begotten you? Or, today, sit at my right hand? Or, anything. Angels are servants. They're just ministers. They're not sons of the house. They're not the wife. They're not family. They don't inherit. Read the first chapter. Everything in the first chapter says that Jesus is greater than, better than, higher than, stronger than an angel.
An angel is nothing. It's just a servant in the house. So the servant is nothing, because after the servant's work, labor, is done, they're laboring, working. You don't inherit. Thank you very much. Here's your wage. Bye. Go to hell. So they don't have a future. They're outside the family that's going to live forever and ever. This world's over. You did a good job. You know, Satan will put you right there in the middle of the fire, right where you belong, because you're going to perish. Don't be a servant in the house of the Lord, but be a son. Be a son. Now, I told you, the husband is the servant, but he voluntarily takes that on because he's a husband, because he's a lover. Parents do that because the children are loved. It isn't that the child is greater than the parent. It's just the parent is greater than the child. That means they go to work. And they get up at 3 in the morning. And they do whatever they have to do. Why? Because they love those children. It's a relationship. It's nothing to do with anything else. It's just how we're related is the little kid doesn't do it. You do it. The little kid just go, Mom, I can't do that. That's great. You see, he's just expressing himself. I can't pick up all my toys. You pick them up right now. You're not going out to play. I'm trying. The little kid just is overwhelmed. Has anybody ever been a parent? They're overwhelmed. Clean up this room or you're not going to play. I mean, see, that's a law. And the little kid goes, I moved this from here to here. I want to play. Alice is outside. You know, whatever. And that little kid doesn't want to do that. So they just fall apart. Get there right now, spank you. And you just scared that little kid to death. Here's a better way as a good parent. You just go, sweetheart, go ahead. I'll finish it up. That's a helper. That's love. That's unconditional love. Doesn't even deserve it. You gave the law. Now you can break the law. Did you know that anytime you want to as a parent, you can break the law you just gave? If God wants to be merciful to a sinner, he can. Did you know that he reserved to himself the prerogative, the right to say, by the way, after I've given you this law, I just want you to know, anytime I want to, I can forgive anybody I want. In other words, if somebody comes to me and asks for mercy, I can do it. What? He even wrote that in the law so you'd get it, like a type and a shadow. The Lamb is actually Jesus, and the Holy of Holies is you. You're the Holy of Holies in whom God dwells. So are you greater than an angel? You are less than an angel in your being. In other words, you're dirt. And they're, you know, gossamer floating around winged people. So what? You know that he's not going to marry a gossamer winged thing. He's going to marry you, a bag of dirt. And he's transformed by his relationship to you just by coming in. He shapes you into a house that does nothing. The house does nothing. This building does nothing. It's not doing anything. It just holds us. The treasure of Hilton Hotel right now is that we're here. You know, the rest of the customers I don't know about. But we're here. That's why it's a holy place. It's only holy while we're here, and the next group that comes in can make it unholy. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We're here to bless. We're not here to be blessed. We're just using the place. We're just like kids enjoying ourselves. And we can have the ballroom anytime we want to. If you'll bring some more customers, we'll go downstairs. Anytime we want to, we can have any room in the place. They'll give us 2 rooms, 5 rooms, the whole ballroom, half the ballroom, anything you want. This is a great place to be. I love it because you can expand your tent here easily. Anytime you want to. But the tent is not the building. It's us. The tent that he's trying to expand is you. Expand your faith so that your faith becomes active in love. So, don't try to love me. You already love me. Isn't that powerful? You love me not because you do, but because you're in relationship to him who loveth you, and we love because he first loved us. You see that? So the more you know the love of God, the more you're going to love me without even trying. And I don't have to do anything to make you love me. I don't have to do anything at all because I'm like the wife. I'm passive with respect to people that want to love me. I'll tell you what, if somebody likes me, I like that person. I'm real shallow that way. I don't care who it is. It can be a pervert. I don't care. Praise God, that pervert liked me. And that's good. Peggy can tell you, I'm that way. Well, why do you like that person? They're a pervert.
They like me. Good. I'm not a very choosy person. Anybody that likes me, there's something great about that person. I just love that person. They turn on me, they've had it, you know. But you see, as long as somebody likes me, so that's all it is. That's law. So here's the deal. You can even hate me. I still love you. Isn't that powerful? Why? Because Jesus did that to me. Why? Because the Father said that. Love them unconditionally. So, are you greater than an angel?
To which angel did he ever say, sit at my right hand? To which angel did he ever say, I'm going to marry you? To which angel? An angel is a creature. A creature is not holy. God is holy, and if you're a creature that serves him, you only have holy service. But that didn't change your nature. But Jesus Christ is prototokos. He changed your very nature. How? By being in relationship to him as a wife. Not as under the law servant, but as an under the gospel faith person.
Do you believe that Jesus loves you just the way you are? See? Do you emotionally always feel that? No. Do you always feel love? Do you always see it? No. So you just believe it because he said so. And because he said so, and because you believed it, that's who you are. So it is. It's not because you deserve it. It's not because of who you are, really. It has nothing to do with that. We are using Greek language to describe Hebrew concept, which is God. That's God's idea. He deliberately chose the Hebrew for the Old Testament and the Greek for the New Testament. Do not believe all of those, and I know you're going to, because you're foolish by not checking into the Bible. The Bible was not written in Aramaic and then translated, or it wasn't written in Hebrew and then translated into the Greek and all that. That's nonsense. It's written exactly in the language he's preserved it for you. Otherwise, you'd be worrying. Well, I wonder, like Mel Gibson, he used the Aramaic because he thought Jesus spoke in Aramaic. Jesus knew Aramaic, but he isn't speaking in Aramaic because he says a word or two in Aramaic. It's in the Bible in Aramaic. Otherwise, we wouldn't know he spoke a word or two in Aramaic. But that's only a couple of words. Lama, lama, sabachthani. Big deal. That's what he said in Aramaic? Okay, fine. There's a lot of people who understood Aramaic in that day, Syrian. And they still do. That doesn't mean that's what he was doing. He spoke in Greek. Therefore, when we look at these words, they're important to us. And when you translate into Latin, it's a little bit different because the Latins are Greek thinking, closer to Greek. But at the same time, it's the Hebrew concepts that are at issue, relational, not a thing in itself. What is it really? That's Aristotle. That's trying to figure out that man is an animal. So, man is what God says he is, not what a scientist thinks he might be. Well, I think he's close to a monkey. Look, this guy looks like a monkey, so that must be, so I think they're related. There are people that look like monkeys. Okay? So what? What does that have to do with anything? If I go like this, am I a windmill? I'm looking like a windmill. So is the fact that I have similarity of function, does that determine my identity, who I am? Just because I have eyes and they have eyes, does that make me a snake? No. I am, but that is not what makes me a snake. It's the tongue. It's the tongue. Now, you are not who you are who God says you are. Amen?
Amen?
Now, are you higher than an angel? You are. Now, I don't care that you look higher than an angel right now. Angels are taller than you are, stronger, and so on and so forth. They're just servants. They're just simply servants. And you, who are not taller, smarter, greater, and so on and so forth, you're actually going to marry Jesus. In fact, you're already married. You just haven't consummated. You're already his wife. You're already born again. You're already adopted. You're already mature in his eyes. He doesn't see you as immature. He sees you as already mature. Now, you don't. The reason you're not walking in maturity is you don't see what he sees.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to see yourself as happy all the time. I'm happy all the time.
Hallelujah.
Who else?
Amen.
Say it.
Happy.
I'm happy all the time. Now, that has nothing to do with what you feel. That has nothing to do with what you think. You're not talking about what you really. What you really is what God says. Therefore, speak the really. Then you'll see the really. The really will show up only if you walk by faith. If you do any work, if you try to explain it or argue it or whatever, you're not going to get anywhere. God has said it. That's the end of it. I believe, therefore I am. Simple. All right, I love you all.